Hi everyone, I'm your host Tess from Spellbinding, and you're listening to Everyday Witch, a show that helps you discover and unlock the magic within. Hi everyone, today's guest is Stephanie Capone, who is an astrologer, tarot reader, illustrator, and best-selling author of Guided Tarot and Guided Tarot for Teens. Her work is centered around exploring shadow work, healing, and creativity, using tarot and astrology as a vehicle to access the hidden realms of the self. She has been reading tarot for more than 20 years and established her business as a professional tarot reader after creating her first tarot deck, the Moon Void Tarot. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. And if you could tell our listeners a little bit more about who you are and what you do.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm thrilled to be here. You did a fabulous job of introducing me. That's all the things I do. I read for private clientele, tarot and astrology, and I write books on the subjects, and I am also a tarot deck creator. So I'm always drawing and writing and working with people. Those are the things I live for. And my cat is going to be jumping up a lot. Sorry. She's very excited to be also on the podcast.
That's fine. I get it. I have three cats. So
me too.
I would love to know what the inspiration was for you behind creating your tarot deck.
Oh, so interesting story. Like I said, I've been reading tarot for 20 years. But it wasn't until in 2016, I had a real tower year. I had been married and in a relationship for 14 years that very abruptly ended. And I decided that I also didn't want to work at my job anymore or live in my house or in my state. And once I made the decision to end the relationship, I got rid of everything I owned and packed up my car and just a few belongings and moved from Florida to New York with no plan. So it was very full energy. And I ended up living in Brooklyn. And during that time period, I didn't really have a lot of support. Everybody thought I was crazy and ruining my life and ruining my ex-husband's life. And so I really leaned into my tarot practice and astrology, because I didn't really have anybody else to talk to. And part of my healing journey was journaling about everything that had been happening. And then I started to realize that maybe, you know, I had written like 25 journals worth of stuff, just it was pouring out of me. And I was like, oh, maybe this should be a memoir. And so I wrote that. And then I was like, I don't know what to do with this. So I started doodling in my notebook and I started drawing tarot cards. And like with me as the fool, you know, just for fun. And then I was like, oh, that's a really good way to like really deepen your practice. So I was like, all right, here's, you know, I would meditate and ask, you know, my subconscious, you know, what is my definition of the fool? What is my definition of the high priestess? And so on and so forth. And I would channel these drawings and I would, you know, I started sharing them on my Instagram. You know, I was like very nervous and a bunch of people started messaging me and being like, what are you doing with this? Are you going to make a whole deck? And I was like, I don't know. This is just like for me, like who's going to want a whole deck with like pictures of me on the cards? And, you know, when you're on your path, the universe conspires to push you in the right direction. And I swear people came out of the woodworks and were like, hey, I'm a graphic designer. I'll help you lay this all out. Or I know of a printer. I'll help you get this printed. Or I have a web designer that I'll put you in touch with that's going to make you a website. And it was just like all these helpers came. And I was like, okay, so I, you know, put together, I was like, all right, I'll do a pre-order and see if anybody really wants to buy this. And I ordered 100 decks and sold out of them like immediately.
That's awesome.
Started wanting to like come and get readings. It was just, it wasn't something I intended to do. It was really just a personal project. And now it's my entire business.
So. Was there anything, like, I know a lot of people create their own oracle decks, which, like, you don't have to have any sort of structure to oracle decks, but was there anything you felt like you needed to keep with creating your own tarot decks, or like any of the symbolism you made sure you had in the cards?
That's a great question. So it's very similar to traditional Rider-Waite-Smith, not necessarily all of the imagery. Like, there's definitely things that I felt were more modern takes on the cards that I didn't necessarily agree with. So I changed some of the meanings, but the artwork was pretty similar, just my own version of it. But like, I guess, like, for example, like ways that it was different, like the Wheel of Fortune, instead of having it be how it is traditionally with like a wheel in the sky. For me, it was a coffee cup with like a lipstick smear stain, like sitting on a stack of journals. Cause like, for me, that was how destiny really changed, was through this like action of writing and self-reflection and doing the work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I was just wondering, cause some tarot decks are like completely different than the original one, you know, and I would love to, like, I loved your take on that, because I always wonder how people decide like what to keep and what to take. And do you have like the original, like wands and cups and everything, or do you call it something different?
I call it the same things, just because when I was becoming familiar with tarot as a beginner, it was really confusing to me to try to learn different things when I was trying to just learn what the normal symbolism and elemental correlations were. So I kept them the same, because this deck, because it just follows one character, so it's like the Fool through the whole thing. It's a great deck for beginners that are looking to use tarot, like specifically for shadow work and self-reflection. You know, where you're not, I found it could be confusing to have a bunch of different people, or to relate the court cards where like, oh, this is, you know, the King of Cups. This is like a man in your life, or like a father type energy, or a boss, that puts the energy outside of yourself. So in my deck, my court cards all have animals, because I think that if your intuition is telling you that that court card represents a person, that's great. But a lot of times it's really about your own energy, and the people in your life are providing mirrors for you.
I love that. That's so true. Yeah. Yeah. Is there something specific that drew you to tarot in the first place?
I think the first time I saw a tarot deck, so I'm a little bit older, and when I was in high school, the internet wasn't a thing. You know, we had AOL and just chats. Like, there were no websites, and there really weren't metaphysical stores and all of these like resources. So I didn't even see a tarot deck until I was like 13 or 14. And the second I saw it, I was like, what is this? I need this in my life. And I saved up babysitting money and took the bus to Barnes & Noble, and they had one tarot deck available, and it was a Rider-Waite-Smith and the old, like, old timey guidebook. And that was what I had for almost 20 years. And it wasn't really until much later when, like I said, I was going through some really tragic things in life and looking for support, that I realized that the internet was this whole community online of people and resources. And there were all these like really cool decks that had come out that were different and more inclusive and modern. And that's when I really, you know, dove headfirst into it. But I think I was at somebody's aunt's house, and she had a tarot deck, And I think it was the same time, like the original Craft had come out and all of those like 90s witchy movies. And I was like, oh, this is the thing. Like, I want to be a part of this.
How long did it take you to start reading for other people, like start reading for strangers? And did you feel like you knew what you were doing when you started reading for strangers?
It's really nerve-wracking to do that. I started reading for friends I'd been reading for myself and for friends forever. And when I moved to New York, all of my friends were new friends. So it was it wasn't people I was comfortable with. And a lot of them were like coworkers. And I remember one of my coworkers, this was like when I was first making the deck. And one of my coworkers was like, hey, I have a friend who really needs a reading. Can I give her your information? And I was like, this is it. Here we go. And this is kind of a crazy story. I met her in a coffee shop and I asked her like what prompted her to do the reading. And she's like, I really don't want to tell you anything about this. And I was like, cool, way to shut it down. But like, that's how it is. So I'm like, you can tell me as much as you want or as little. And I think I did a Celtic cross because I was like, I don't know you. So, and I wasn't necessarily super comfortable with designing my own spreads and coming up with like all the prompts. So I was like, all right, this is just something I know how to do. So I did it. And I pulled all the cards and I was just interpreting them for her. And we got to the last card and it was the Devil reversed. And I was like, oh, whatever this is about, like it's a decision that's really unpopular and you're going to do something that is really against like everything inside of you. And you're really worried about how people are going to perceive you, but you're going to do it anyway. And she burst into tears and she told me, then she revealed her story and it tracked with all of the cards. And it was like, she was going to terminate a pregnancy. And I have permission to share this story. Because she reached out to me about a year after it. And she was like, you were so right. She was like, I did ended up terminating it for all of these reasons. And it was the best reason for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I don't think I would have felt the confidence to do that. And so I was like, oh, wow. Like we're very nervous when we start reading professionally, but if you're in touch with your intuition and you just go and you say what comes to you, it's very accurate.
Yeah. To me, it's like you're giving people reassurance of what they already sort of know they need to do, but they just need to hear it from someone else.
Yeah. They need that validation because again, a lot of times it's stuff that people are really uncomfortable with doing because it has a lot to do with change. And I think that was also like my first tarot deck. It's called my independent tarot deck is called the Moon Void Tarot. And it's really about, it's like handholding when you're in that void space and you're like, oh shit, I decided to jump off a cliff and I don't know where I'm going. I don't really have a plan. Can I trust my intuition? Can I trust this change? So I think it's like, tarot is such an incredible tool for helping you through those times. Mm-hmm. You're like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. Or when it's like, do I make the jump? Is it okay to make the jump? And you just need someone to be like, yes.
I mean, if you don't, I think a lot of people, they just stay stuck in like the devil they know, because even though it's not great and they're not satisfied or things aren't what they really want, or they can be terrible. It's more comfortable to stay in the pain that you're aware of and you're already carrying than to deal with the pain of what if I try something different and it's even worse.
Right. Yeah.
It never is. It's always better. And it can completely take you by surprise. Like I said, I had no intention of having this be my life and what I did, this is very different than what I was doing before in my previous life. I was a hairdresser for 10 years and I was a watercolor illustrator for a magazine. And my ex-husband and I co-owned a food truck. Like, we were in a very different non-spiritual space that was really more just focused on capitalism and not, and there was always something like really missing inside, you know, and I was hiding a lot of depression because I wasn't living authentically. And I think that's a lot of people aren't living, you know, authentically, but you don't know what's on the other side. And I certainly had no idea that like this was the turn that life would take if I gave myself an opportunity to completely pivot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's really true. And it's like, I think with having a spiritual business or just being spiritual in general is like healing people and helping people heal or just healing yourself is so powerful. And it helps you feel more whole or like full and like you're living your life to the fullest potential because you are helping others. Like, even though you're just pulling cards, you're still helping someone in their life in a really big way.
Absolutely. Having some sort of spiritual practice and some basis of inner work is never a waste of time. It's never for nothing. You don't need to know what it's going to be or worrying about like, how can you monetize it or how can it become a business or how do you start? And I think that people try to like think so far ahead, especially if they're, you know, coming into this and want to do it professionally. It's try to not think of it as a profession and think of it more as like, what is the most healing for me and the most joyful, you know, what do you have fun doing? What means the most to you? And kind of like let the universe allow those synchronistic opportunities to come in. So you're not beating your, you know, head against the wall, trying to like push for something and make something happen.
Yeah. Do you have any advice for others who are afraid of reading for other people?
So a lot of times when we're, and I think of the pages, I feel like the pages are that like each element of this like new foray into reading for other people. You have to remember that you've already built this foundation. You know how to read the cards. And whoever's sitting in front of you, getting their cards read by you, you have more knowledge than them. So they have no idea like what you're, they don't know if you, you know, misinterpret something. And a lot of times, like if you don't know something, like you're thinking in your head, like, oh, what does this mean in the guidebook? Instead of like just going with your intuitive insights, like just take it back to your intuition and forget anything in the guidebook. And people don't know if they're not also tarot readers, they have absolutely no idea what it is. So just speak from your heart and from your intuition. They're not judging you.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest myth or misconception about tarot is?
I think one of the biggest myths and misconception is that it is a future predictor. And I think that's what keeps it really scary to a lot of people that aren't tarot people or spiritual people. I think that they're afraid of what they might find out, but it's, you know, you're not going to read the cards and be like, oh, you're going to die or something terrible is going to happen to you. It's more of like a psychology tool and an intuition tool. And it's really reading your current energy, and there's free will involved. So if you're telling people, hey, here's, a possible thing that can happen based on these cards in, you know, a future position, you can tell people you have free will. You don't have, like, this isn't set in stone. This isn't a prophecy.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I try to keep it more, I try to rein people in from that. And I don't really have a lot of clients that, like, that's what they're coming for. They'll say, like, you know, hey, what's happening around me and what possible things can be are orbiting me that I can move towards, but moving towards those things takes action and intention. And it's not just like, you're going to fall into this thing.
Yeah. I would love to know more about your tarot manifestation course and what it includes or who it's best suited for.
So I actually, my tarot manifestation course, I created that because I feel like there is so much information on learning how to read tarot and not a lot for that next step of, like, great, how do you practically use it? So for me, I practically use it for shadow work and self-reflection and personal growth. And then once you get on the other side of the shadow work and you're like, I am no longer in crisis. You know, a lot of people, like, they'll tell me, oh, I haven't even, like, looked at my tarot deck in so long, you know, or like, how can I, like, I want to make some changes, but I'm not sure where to start. So it's like, hey, you know what? Tarot is actually really great for making these big life changes that can feel really expansive and positive and fun. So I was like, I use it in my manifestation practices. So that's why I created the course.
That's really interesting. That's awesome. Yeah, because there are so many resources online about, like, here's the meaning of each card, but you're right, there's not much about, like, what to do once you know the meanings.
Exactly. It's like you want to take it a step further, and there's really not a lot for that. I found myself, you know, of course, I love to come up with tarot spreads, but sometimes it's nice to just have a resource. And there wasn't really a resource other than, like, looking up, like, some, you know, people posting, like, a random spread here and there for, like, a full moon or a new moon or, like, an astrological transit. It wasn't just like, hey, here's a whole, well, I'm in the process of writing a book about it, but, like, a whole, here's a step-by-step manifestation guide alongside tarot to support you.
Yeah.
So you're doing manifestation work. There's so much, you know, they always say, like, you put your intention out and then you have to, like, step back. But so many people are, like, get really anxious in that waiting process. And they're like, what do I do? How do I just relax and, like, keep it moving? Or, like, what can I do to, like, support this? So it's, like, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's great. I mean, I think a lot of people who read for other people just kind of set their decks aside when they're not reading for other people and don't really use it for themselves after a while. So that's great that you have a course where it's like, here's how you can incorporate it every day or however much you want to. And it doesn't have to be about just reading the cards to read them.
Right. Like, it's good to have something intentional to anchor you in your practice. And I think that tarot is the gift that keeps on giving, and it it shifts and changes with every year that you're engaging with it. And again, like you said, it's so many people when they get into something professionally, then they let their own personal practice, like, go by the wayside. So I'm constantly creating resources so that doesn't happen. Because I think that even though you're getting the practice of reading for other people, you have to continually grow and evolve, and then you'll become a better reader if you're engaged.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite tarot deck besides yours?
Ooh, I have so many favorite tarot decks. It's tough. I like to get a lot of my decks on Kickstarter, because I like artist created decks. So some of them, aren't always available because they're like limited. Like right now, my deck is not in print anymore. It was the last time I did it was Kickstarter, and they cost a lot of money to produce. It was like almost 30 grand to produce it in its like beautiful format. And it's a lot of work. And I just had a baby. So I'm focusing on just my publishing career right now. But as far as my favorite decks from this past year, I've loved the Midnight City Tarot deck, which I know is still available. Cause I lived this, my whole thing was I moved to New York, you know, and I had this big New York experience. So this deck is, it's like a love letter to New York. And it's really beautiful. And I love the Black Femme Tarot, which is created by Illuminati, and it's also still available right now. And it's a Rider-Waite-Smith inspired deck, but it features Black women and femmes, and it's great to see. I like decks that feature bodies that aren't my own, right? And people that don't look like me. So I prefer more diverse decks because I love the Rider-Waite-Smith and all of the decks that are similar to it. But I think that diversity is something that's really being celebrated in tarot. The Queer Tarot by Ash and Chess is incredible. It's like black and white and like rainbow colors. And it's, again, another really exciting, diverse deck that is available currently. What about you? What's your go-to?
Right now it's probably the Way Home Tarot or just Rider-Waite.
Yeah, the Way Home is great. Wasn't that a Kickstarter deck that became like, that got like national publishing? I try to keep an eye on what the creators are doing. And
I don't know if it was a Kickstarter, but I just saw the shop that like has it. So that's how I heard about it. But the first deck I ever like read on was the Wild Unknown.
Which and doesn't that was have... like great deck because it didn't have any people in it.
Yeah. And it doesn't have like that much original symbolism in it. And it was not maybe the best for learning on, but I love how it's like a darker theme. And you're right, there's no people in it, which is great too. So that's like one of my first decks, and I still love that deck.
That's a great, I think that was a deck that really made people like get up and pay attention. And like, oh, tarot can be this whole other thing. And it's, you know, the artist, Kim Kranz, it was really her interpretation of the cards. Like, I love that the Emperor on that card is like this giant tree, you know, with its like roots in the ground. Like, I loved the symbolism and how it took it, you know, it really helped you kind of pivot away from like memorizing Rider-Waite-Smith like definitions in the guidebook.
Yeah. What tarot card do you feel represents your life right now?
Well, so I mentioned I just had a baby, so I feel like I'm definitely in like the Empress energy and like the Sun, and it's helped me really get in touch with like what the Empress means. You know, I always had this, you know, feeling of like, this is how to be in divine feminine energy. And especially when it comes to manifestation, knowing that you can't take action and chase something until you've attracted it. And so the Empress reminds us that like, we are magnets and we're drawing things to us and we don't have to chase them.
Yeah. But
as a new mom, the vulnerability that I didn't even understand until you get there.
Well, I think those are two good cards to be in. Okay, this is my last question. What does magic mean to you?
I think that magic is incredibly personal and inclusive. And my definition is different from your definition and everybody else's. And this is some place where we can all be right and nobody's wrong, because you have your own special, unique ways of calling in your magic and your, and same with reading tarot. It's such a personalized thing that there's really no, it's like the one thing that people really can't argue about, you know, unless you're defining your practice by like a traditional, like you're saying I'm Wiccan, or you're going to be like, if you're putting those parameters on it, then that's fine, but you don't have to. You can claim yourself as a witch and own your magic when maybe all you do is like put some crystals in your bra and call it a day. Like, you don't have to be perfect.
Yeah, I love that. And thank you so much for being on the podcast. I had such a great time talking with you, and I will put links in the show notes where people can find you and purchase your books and everything like that. So thank you for being on.
Thank you so much. Can I just mention my new book real quick?
Yes, of course.
Thank you. So, I just put out my first astrology book, and I'm really excited about it. And as a, you know, a self-taught tarot reader, I'm also a self-taught astrologer. And I think that everybody can read their own natal charts. So I created a guided astrology workbook. And it's on sale today and tomorrow on Amazon Prime. It's like $11. So like the easiest time, but it's in workbook format. So it teaches you how to read your natal chart. And it also has like thoughtful journal prompts. So it's, again, kind of taking astrology and using it for self-reflection and getting to know yourself better and healing. So I'm most excited about that right now.
Okay. I will have to check that out, because astrology is the one thing that I'm like, oh, that's so much work. Like, that's so difficult to understand and get into, you know?
It's a lot, but again, like, this is a great beginner, breaks it down and then asks you questions about, you know, to help you remember all the things. Because okay. It's a lot, but it can really take your tarot practice to another level, I think. Like, I love reading together.
Awesome. So I will also link that in the show notes as well, so people can purchase that and check it out.
Thank you, Tess.
Yeah, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I have a big announcement to make really quick. I will be hosting a retreat in Sedona. It's going to be February 22nd to the 26th. You can now purchase the tickets through the link I will have in the show notes. I'm really excited. It's going to be an all-inclusive retreat. We're going to be doing a bunch of workshops about tarot, ritual oil, healing workshops, shadow work workshops, and intentional candle workshops, hiking, all different things. If you've been wanting to connect with like-minded people in real life, then this is probably something that you'd be interested in. And you can check out all the information about it on my website. And I really hope you can make it. I'd love to meet you in person.